Tuesday is, of course, Tuesday Book Club. We had a bit of an unusual one last week because I was away, Andrew was away. We threw in together a wonderful package where we talked about Down the Hume. It's all back to normal, people. It's okay. Andrew Popel from 2SER's own Final Draft in the studio with me. A very good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. It's good to be across the desk from
face
each other.
Face to face again, finally.
I know. And just an exciting tidbit. People can look forward to an interview with Peter Pilates, Down the Hume's author. It's coming up on Final Draft.
I look forward to that too. He sounded amazing over Sydney Writers Festival.
He's a great guy to chat to, so I'm really looking forward to bringing this book in greater depth.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. What are we talking about for today's Tuesday Book Club, though?
Look, Nick, I find myself reading a lot of narratives lately, chronicling contemporary Australian life through periods in our history. I mean, Down the Hume was a great example. That's a very contemporary narrative.
Yes.
But I'm reading across our history. Now, of course, there's the Aussie Classics series that we have discussed often. And another plug, the latest is Mina Calthorpe's The Die House. It's a must for inner Westies and closet lefties. Just going to tease that. Today, though, I've got a book that takes us back to the early 80s. It's Losing It by Moira Burke.
Okay.
So, Losing It has had a really interesting publication history. It emerged highly commended in the Vogel Prize for 1998. And the Vogel is an annual award for an unpublished manuscript. It's well worth a look for fans of great Australian writing. So, at the time, Losing It received a limited academic release. And it's only this year that it's received a more general release from Text Publishing.
Only this year?
Only this year.
Wow.
So this is brand new in the most sort of fascinating of ways. And look, given that the book does take us back to the 80s, it's interesting to ponder how it might have been read at the time of its initial release. Back in the 90s, we hadn't quite raised the 80s to retro fetish yet.
Not at all.
It still really retained some of that cringe fascination for its fashions and its excesses. But we're reading this book now, almost 40 years removed from its setting.
Don't tell me that.
So, Losing It, it sits very much in the early 80s, working class Australia. Our protagonist is Josie, and she's just trying to get through high school and an environment rife with personal and public turmoil. Josie's father is slowly drinking himself to death as an officer at Pentridge Prison. He was present for the hanging of Ronald Ryan, very famously the last man hanged in Australia, last man executed in Australia.
Yeah.
And so he continues to suffer post-traumatic stress because of this experience. Meanwhile, her mother is just trying against these odds to hold their family together and raise three daughters. Losing It has this immediate, visceral style. Moira Burke uses second-person narrative and a flowing consciousness that really catapults Josie from the page and into our lives, or maybe more correctly, us into hers.
Hmm.
We come to know Josie as this capable and intelligent young woman beset by insecurities and constantly at the mercy of a gendered culture that privileges men to the point of violence. Her world looks really narrow to her. So it's bordered by this sort of part-time retail work. Josie's not even thinking that she's going to be finishing high school. At one point, she has a job at McDonald's. You know, the golden calf looks like getting part-time at, you know, Big W, or I'm not actually sure what retail stores were around in the 80s. And the possibility of escape from her family and her world up to Sydney. And yet we also see this passion for art, this talent on the sports field, and a really like mathematical mind. She should be the best Australia has to offer, but she's hemmed in by gender and class. Josie's life, it might seem captivating, it might seem unremarkable to you based on your own memories and experience of growing up. What's really great, her experiences of drugs and sex, her family trauma, they're not new fodder for fiction.
No.
But what makes this really captivating is the means by which we're invited to experience them with Josie. I come back to that second person narrative, the way we are right there with her. We're inside her head. We're right there in these experiences. So reading a novel that takes us back to an era, even one that feels relatively close as the 80s does, it always has me examining our own lives and society. This isn't always necessarily the author's intention, but for me, it's an inevitability. I can't help but reflect. And I find, so for one example, Josie's casual, almost nonchalant dismissal of sexual violence. It seems shocking to me as she tells us, it's easier to say yes than to argue no. Are we that far removed? How different is that to pervasive attitudes around privilege and consent that we hear discussed today? As Josie's working class family struggles to support her depressively ill father, it's easy to imagine a contemporary discussion around the mental health support services and how far the health safety net extends in our current society. It's a really good book to reflect on. I haven't even discussed the music and the fashion that pepper Josie's world, or references to truly awful sounding alcoholic beverages that were, look, I don't know, they were apparently the mainstay of underage drinking. These are all deft touches that just, they make this story just immensely enjoyable and really timely, and they have these reverberations. I thoroughly recommend reading Losing It.
Yeah, look, Losing It by Moira Burke. You and I have spoken a few times about how good it is to maybe look back at a time and take a cultural sample to now. And I think we've seen a few novels exploring that at the moment, but this one is interesting to me. As you said, it was first published in 1998.
We jump from the 80s to the 90s and now 2017. So this book seems to, you know, have these cycles, but then it has this resonance. And I mean, I think as soon as you can find a book as a cultural artifact, you know that maybe we have moved on in some way as a society. But reading this, I still feel there are a lot of questions that we need to deal with. And this is a really interesting perspective on them.
Well, I'm quite excited to get stuck into it. Let's talk Final Draft. Where can people hear a little bit more?
Oh, every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. It's been a really strong lineup lately. As I said, I've got Peter Pilates coming up. We've had some really great Aussie Classics book clubs, some amazing Australian authors. So I really recommend getting to the website, 2ser.com. You can do that after Nick's show, of course.
Of course, of course.
Or every Saturday morning, you can get it fresh off the tape. You get it fresh. 10 a.m. Saturday morning.
Now, we're having a little bit of a break, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm going to be away for a little while. But look, while I'm away, I'm intending to get into Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale ahead of its Aussie release on SBS. So, you know, why don't we discuss that before it comes, you know, crashing into our own increasingly conservative reality?
That is some perfect timing. I've just reread it recently. Cannot encourage people to read it again enough.
Brilliant.
Andrew Purple, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick.